awesome to walk out this morning and not need. That was like exciting. That blessed me. I was glad for that this morning. Hey, I'm not going to ask that. Not going to ask you to put up your hand. So this is a question that I'm asking that you're not going to answer if you don't want to. But in your head answering, how many of you read the book of John? That ended yesterday, the 21 chapters. That was great, eh? Sure, Pastor, sure. Yeah, I got to 12, 15. I had a couple of days, and then I fell behind. And boy, I'll tell you, I missed a day or so, right? And then I was reading a couple chapters, and Patty said to me, she said, was that one chapter? I'm like, no, that was two. I was catching up. But it was great. I mean, it's great. If you read through that, way to go. You read a book of the Bible. And Steve will have your certificate for you. I don't know. I'm just kidding. And your Tim Hortons card and all that kind of stuff. But no, we shouldn't have to bribe or anything each other to read God's Word. It's awesome. And there's so much in there. And it's so crazy. I mean, it's one of the, I'm not calling God's Word crazy, but it's one of the most crazy stories, things of God's plan of redemption and all that goes on. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-blowing. And so if you got partway through John and you're going, I failed. No, just carry on. Just finish it off. You can do it. You'll have late marks, but you know, it's okay. Just finish it off. It's good and it's worth it. Hey, have you ever had, I'm going to put a period on that. I'm not tying this next thing into that just now. But have you ever had someone tell you that you need to get your priorities straight? You ever? I have. Just so we are not uncomfortable here. Ever had someone tell you you need to get your priorities straightened out? Or have you ever told somebody you need to get your priorities straight? I mean, I've heard that. I've heard people say that. As I said, I've probably had it mentioned to me at least once in my life. A teacher might say to a student who's not doing well in school, you need to give studying more priority. An employer might say to an employee who's always late for work, you need to get your priorities straight. Get here on time or get another job. A coach might say to a player who's not playing to their potential, you need to give more attention to training and practice. Your priorities need adjusting. As our two boys were growing up, Ryan and Ben, baseball was their thing. And we spent countless hours sitting on diamonds, sometimes freezing in the stands, sometimes getting a suntan. But our boys had a coach. My son Ryan had a coach. His name was David Chilton. Some of you will know him as a fellow who wrote The Wealthy Barber. And Dave's just a great guy, a great example and influence on the boys in many ways. And he's a great, great baseball coach. He doesn't do that anymore, but he's retired from that. But I remember the day that Dave said, okay, the guys were playing, and they had been doing really well, right? And then there was this one game where most of their girlfriends showed up. Worst game they ever played. You'd think when the girlfriends show up, like stars all over the field, right? In the most Christian term, they sucked that day. It was terrible. Dave called the meeting after the game, brought the girlfriends over. He says, guys, you need to get your priorities straight. No more girlfriends at baseball games. And so he was joking because he always does that. But I remember that story about getting their priorities straight. And funny how it worked out. They played really well when the girls weren't there. And so sometimes, you know, not in that case, but sometimes we need to at least assess our priorities. What do I put importance on in my life? What do I really put importance on? What do I say I put importance on? What do my actions show are my priorities? And as we study God's Word, it becomes obvious that God intends for us to have priorities in life as well. I mean, back in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments begin with the command to give God first priority. We read in Exodus 20, verses 3 to 5, "You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods." Well, of course, as Christ followers, of course God is to be the highest priority in our lives. Again, we can say that in word, do our lives show that? But of course, God is to be the highest priority in our lives. And when he is, we will find that there are other priorities that become important to us too. I mean, as you read through the rest of the Ten Commandments, you'll see other priorities not only about our relationship with God, but also about our relationship with each other. In fact, as we read through the whole Bible, there's much written about our priorities, both with God, with each other, and as well those who are not part of God's family. Jesus had a lot to say about our priorities in life. And what I'd like to do over the next few Sundays together is to look at our priorities in the area of something we call stewardship. You probably heard me say that word. I often pray that before we worship God through giving. But stewardship is the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Something entrusted to one's care. God has entrusted to each one of us the care of our time and treasure. Of our time, talent, and treasure. I'm not saying these are the only priorities Jesus taught or that these are in any particular order of importance, because God's word also includes words about the priority of others, the priority of commitment, the priority of discipleship, the priority of concern, and of course, the priority of stewardship. But let's understand, first of all, that if God isn't the first priority in life, then those other things that I just mentioned and other priorities have no real or lasting consequence or impact. And this morning, I'd like to look with you at a passage, Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 14, and see specifically this morning that Jesus expects us to have others high on our priority checklist. Him first, but he also expects us to have others high on our priority checklist. We need to give people higher priority than tradition. We need to give people higher priority than our traditions. Luke 14, 1 to 6. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. And so taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. Oftentimes in the Bible, we see Jesus eat with people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of situations. However, when he ate with the Pharisees, it seems their reason for inviting him wasn't to be friendly or hospitable, but try to entrap him for something he might do or say that they could accuse him of doing wrong. And so at this meal that we just read about, there's a man who most likely wouldn't be at the home of a high-ranking Pharisee. What's he doing here? And who let him in? the condition of this man was such that he was swollen by the accumulation of water in his body. His legs and arms would have been very enlarged and painful, and the swelling wouldn't be just in his arms and legs, but other parts of his body as well. Some of the Pharisees believed that this painful condition was because of the result of immorality. They often said that kind of thing when people were sick. It's quite likely this man was brought to the Pharisees' home to put Jesus to a test. I mean, we know that, don't we? Because when Jesus heals him, what does he do? He sends him on his way. And so the guy wasn't there to hang out and have supper and a visit. He was there for a specific reason. He was brought there for a specific reason. It was the Sabbath, the day of rest, a holy day. And the Pharisees were adamant that no work should be done on the Sabbath, including healing. But you know what? Their priorities were screwed up. Their priority was keeping their traditions concerning the law, the scriptures, but half of those traditions, they just made them up. And Jesus is about to challenge their priorities with the truth. Jesus doesn't ask them their opinion or what their tradition was. Jesus simply asks them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And they don't answer. Well, that's kind of ignorant. They don't answer. Would they just sit there and look at him? It's possible the law didn't forbid such healing. I mean, think about it. Who actually does the healing anyway when there's healing? God. God's the source of healing. Would they want to say it's not lawful for God to heal on the Sabbath if he chose to? I don't think so. Or maybe they stayed quiet because they were still convinced that their tradition was right or of higher importance, and that any healing on the Sabbath was work and therefore unlawful. And they stayed silent to see if Jesus would break the law according to them. But Jesus certainly wasn't intimidated by this opposition. He showed loving mercy to the suffering man and healed him and sent him on his way. And then Jesus asked the Pharisees another question. He asked them if they would rescue their ox or son, or in some translations it says donkey, from a well on the Sabbath. Would you rescue your ox or son or donkey from a well? Or would you let him drown because it's the Sabbath? Again, no answer. Outsmarted again, they were. Jesus was pointing to their inconsistency, their wrong priorities. While they might show concern for a farm animal on the Sabbath, they likely would have had this man remain in pain because it was the Sabbath. They had a priority problem. And folks, when it comes to biblical stewardship, the responsibility of our time, of our talent, of our treasure that God has given us, the question is, do we have the right priorities? Are our priorities straight? Because the way I see it, it's God first, it's others second, and then myself third. Priority than yourself. Give others higher priority than tradition. Give others higher priority than yourself. How do you like that one? Does that feel good? As Jesus looked around while people were getting ready for the meal and seating themselves, he noticed another misplaced priority. It's interesting. This is a misplaced priority many people have today, and we see it displayed in several ways. It might be summarized with the phrase, it's kind of about me. Some people say it's all about me. There are many people who subscribe to this me priority. Now, let's read what takes place at the dinner in Luke 14, 7 to 14. When he, Jesus, noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this in a parable. He said, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And then Jesus said this to his host, reading on. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. The point here is that Jesus saw people working their way to the special seats. Those who sat on the right and left of the host were recognized as people of high importance, and those who were in the next seats were next important. And Jesus said to them, rather than scrambling to get the high-ranking spots, take a seat with low honor associated with it. If you insist on taking a seat of honor, you could very well be asked to move to another seat. It's much more honorable to be asked to move from the lower seat to a higher seat. And in this story, who actually deserved the seat of honor at that meal? Who actually deserved the seat of honor at that meal? I mean, none of them recognized or acknowledged that it was Jesus who deserved the seat of honor. He wasn't recognized because they refused to believe that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. They were more concerned with their own status and how others would see them. In their midst was the Son of God, but they were more concerned with their own sense of self-importance, messed up priorities. And Jesus continues to teach that others should be given priority over oneself. And Jesus said it's more important to give to others who cannot repay. Show real generosity. Those with this priority do receive in return, but in a very special way, he says. He says, at the resurrection of the righteous, when Jesus comes again. In another place, Jesus said it's important to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven rather than on earth. Don't make the accumulation of things and popularity in this world your priorities. Don't make them your priorities. You see, as we serve others, as we give our time to others, as we give of our money, as we're able for ministry to others, we're following the priority Jesus intends for us to have. And he will reward us. But that's not to be our motivation. Philippians 2, 3-8 says this, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You need to have, or you must have, the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus chose to see our need greater than his comfort. Jesus chose to suffer in our place so we could have forgiveness of our sin. Jesus chose to die for us so we could know everlasting life. Jesus made it his priority to do his Father's will, even when that brought him suffering and pain. Jesus was able to give us, you, priority over his own life. You are his priority. That's a weird thought. You are his priority. You're a priority to God. And Jesus expects different priorities from his followers than from people guided by society's priorities. The Apostle Paul understood the need for a higher priority of values and actions as he wrote the following words to the believers in Rome. He said, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." There's a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, and that Romans 12:2, it puts it this way: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Followers of Jesus live with different priorities than those who are not followers of Jesus. And if your priorities aren't different from people who are not followers of Jesus, I think something's wrong. You see, other people can set standards of performance for you. Others can give you a list of priorities. But it's you who determines what your priority is in life. What priority do you put on others? What priorities have you set for the stewardship of your time toward others, your talent toward others, and your treasure? If they're not in line with what you find in God's Word, the Bible, then maybe you need to read it so that you know. And you can be a doer, not just a hearer only. We talked about that last week in our series. Or maybe you actually may simply need to get your priorities straight. You see, it's then that you'll truly know what it is to grow in living in the fullness of God in your life. And God wants to bless each one of us in that way. To know it, we've got to read it. To read it and make any difference, we've got to do it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this account here. Lord, what was going on? Again, it was a crazy time for you, and what an awful circumstance it would have been in to always be tested and try to be entrapped. And yet, Father, even in the challenge of that, your focus was on others. Your first priority was to your Father and to do the will of the Father. And then your second focus was on others. Lord, you took all of that, your time, your abilities, what you had, and you blessed others. I pray you would help us, Lord. It's not like ABC 1, 2, 3, this is what you do and it's all good. But Lord, for us in different places in our lives, help us not to be hypocritical. Help us not to say one thing and live a different way. Help us not to come to church and worship you and say these things and then go home and live differently. I pray you'd help us all to live consistently as stewards of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, that we would all, Father, just ask you to help us when it comes to setting priorities. Lord, things that would honor you, things that would bless others, and then, Father, ultimately be a blessing to us. Lord, help us to know what it means to continue to grow in living in the fullness of you. In Jesus' name, amen.